ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
If Jacob marries a woman from the land of Canaan, a pagan woman, it's going to kill me. I don't want him to follow in the footsteps of Esau, who married a woman from the land of Canaan. What is she doing with Isaac? She's setting Isaac up to send Jacob away. You know, you're right, hon. We don't want Jacob to get a wife from the Canaanites. Let's send him to our people. Let him get a wife there by your brother Laban's house. You know, as I read this, it's like, as sand through the hourglass, so go the days of our lives, right? I mean, this could be a soap opera. I mean, it's got all the stuff in there. You know, how much better just to walk after the Lord, to follow him, to be directed by his spirit, than to walk in the flesh and try to manipulate God's will in your life. You know, Solomon said in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Absolutely. Don't lean on your own understanding. You know, we look at the situation, we go, how is God going to do this? Maybe I need to do this to help him out here. No. God has promised he's going to bring it to pass. It's kind of like bringing me up here to Wisconsin from Chicago. He told me he was going to do that, but he didn't give me a time frame. I waited 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, 10 years, 11 years, and God fulfilled his promise to me. Could I have acted in the flesh and kind of helped God out? Yeah. In fact, I was offered a position in Lake Villa to be the pastor there. And I sat down with them and talked with them. They were excited about having me be the pastor. And I said, here's the thing. As much as I would love to do this, Lake Villa is in Illinois. It's not in Wisconsin. And God specifically said he was going to move me to Wisconsin one day, and I have to wait upon him. And I did. And I'm so thankful because I see the hand of God, how he moved me up here. The same with Jacob. He could have waited. Did it look like it was not going to happen? Yeah, for Jacob. Same for me. 11 years? Are you kidding? No, that was God's timing. Well, look at chapter 28 here, verse 1. Then Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him, and he said to him, you shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Paddan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and take yourself a wife from there of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. Back in Genesis chapter 27, Isaac was not on board with the plan of God. He was trying to circumvent it and give the blessing to his son Esau instead of Jacob. But now, you know, he sees that you can't circumvent the plans of God, and he went along with what God had said. And he's going to send Jacob away with a blessing, which just again tells me that Isaac understood that he needed to obey God here. One of the things he tells Jacob is, don't follow in the footsteps of your brother Esau. Don't take a wife from the Canaanites from the world. You see, the descendants of Jacob are going to bring forth the Messiah. And God wanted there to be spiritual purity in this lineage. And it doesn't mean that they were perfect. We could see that they weren't perfect very clearly. And, you know, God used imperfect people because he always uses imperfect people. But also, he used godly women who were not from the children of Israel to fulfill his plan as well. Ruth was the great-grandmother of King David. She was a Moabite. Incredible. But she was a believer. So Jacob is to go to Mesopotamia, to the house of his uncle Laban, Rebekah's brother, and look for a wife there. And the whole idea, we see this throughout the scriptures, is God does not want us to be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. That's dating unbelievers, having close fellowship with unbelievers, going into business with unbelievers. Why? Because unbelievers are moving in one direction, and you should be moving in another. And to have them as your closest friends or you're dating them, they're going to bring you down. A great example of this is just put an 800-pound person on a chair. Stand them up. And 100-pound woman standing on the floor. He's the Christian. She's the unbeliever. She can pull him right down, right? It's very easy to pull a person off a chair. Okay, take that big person, that Christian, and put him on the floor. That's not going to help. It's real easy to pull that other person down. It's really hard to have close fellowship all the time with unbelievers. Why? Because they will influence you. What do I mean? When you are in sin, are you going to go to that Christian brother or sister and share that with them? Share, what do you think? Is this okay? No. You're going to go to unbelievers because they're going to agree with you. Yeah, you're right. Your husband is a lousy guy. Listen, look at how he treats you. And this person cares for you. Look at, they're taking care of you. Forget him. Go to this other guy. That's just what they want to hear. I've seen it before. Back in Illinois, I was assistant pastor. I had this woman call me, and she wanted me to condone her getting a divorce, say that it was okay, give the blessing. Oh, yes, it's okay for you to have. I said, well, what's going on? Well, I'm just not getting along with him anymore. I don't like him and love him anymore. I'm done. Did he commit adultery? No. Well, you don't have grounds for a divorce. Well, my friends at work tell me it's okay. I really don't care what they say. What does God have to say? Well, I even have Christian friends that are telling me that it's okay, believe it or not. I don't know if that was true or not, but that's what she was trying to tell me. So I really don't care what anyone has to say. What does God have to say about this? Well, that was the last I heard from her. Sorry. I'm not going to give you a blessing to get a divorce when you have no grounds for a divorce. So we got to be careful. And when you are dating an unbeliever, they will do and say anything you want. They'll go to church with you every Sunday, maybe even midweek study, and then you get married. And that's the last thing they want to do is go to church. Be careful. God knows what he's talking about. Now, as we read on here, listen carefully to this blessing that Isaac is going to give to Jacob. Okay, look at verse 3 here in Genesis 28. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may be an assembly of peoples, and give you the blessing of Abraham to you and your descendants with you, that you may inherit the land in which you are a stranger, which God gave to Abraham. Notice how he blessed Jacob. He used the name of God. He said, God Almighty, El Shaddai. That was a title that was used for God back in Genesis 17:1. As God himself spoke to Abraham using that title. And Abraham passed those words down to his son Isaac. And what does Isaac do? He's passing them down to his son Jacob. Again, Isaac wasn't a real godly man, you might say. We only know that he had faith is because what we read in Hebrews. But he's blessing Jacob here, the blessing of Abraham. And that blessing from Abraham was passed down to Isaac. And here it is, to Jacob. It was done by faith. Did Jacob deserve this? Well, we've read the story. What do you think? Do you really think this guy was such a great guy? God said, you know what? This is such a great guy. He's perfect. He doesn't do anything wrong. I'm going to bless him. No, not at all. This was a God's sovereign plan. And it's after this blessing that God is going to send Jacob away. We see that in verse 5. So Isaac sent Jacob away, and he went to Padan Aram to Laban, the son of Bethuel, the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, the mother of Jacob and Esau. This is the area where Abraham was originally from, and this is where his family still lived. And so Jacob is heading that way, and look at what verse 6 says. Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padan Aram to take himself a wife from there. And that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge saying, you shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. And that Jacob had obeyed his father and his mother and had gone to Padan Aram. Also, Esau saw that the daughters of Canaan did not please his father. So Esau went to Ishmael and took Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Naboth, to be his wife in addition to the wives he had. Now, here's the thing. Esau saw how Jacob was being blessed. He saw how his previous two wives to these Canaanite women didn't impress his parents. And now he's marrying what? He's marrying an Ishmaelite. I find that interesting. When you walk in the flesh, no matter how hard you try, you're never going to accomplish anything that will please God. And that's what we see here. He took a wife from the wrong side of the family, I guess you might say. Jacob was obeying his father, and he's taken a wife from his mother's family. Apart from Christ as Christians, we can do nothing. I know people freak out about that. What do you mean you can do nothing? I could do whatever I want. Yeah, but you're not going to please God in what you do. You can do whatever you want. You have a free will, but you're never going to please God in the things you do. He won't accept them. And Esau goes to the descendants of Ishmael to get a wife. Was Ishmael a son of promise? No. He's a son of the flesh. And what do we see here is the flesh is drawn to the flesh. There's the problem. He had no understanding of the Abrahamic covenant. He lived on the human level and not the life of the Spirit. And that was the problem for Esau. Look at verse 10. So we get back to Jacob. Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head, and he lay down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven, and there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. So Jacob's heading away from home. He's heading eastward toward the ancestral lands of his grandfather Abraham, and also to the lands where the family of his mother, Rebecca, lived. And he's on the run from Esau. It's interesting because that first day he travels 40 miles. That's pretty good. 40 miles is moving, right? Why was he moving so fast? He's thinking Esau might come after him, right? I'm putting as much distance between me and him as I can. 40 miles should do it. I think that's the issue. And it's getting late. The sun's going down. He's trying to find a place to rest. It's here that he's going to encounter God. And I find that interesting that, you know, verse 12, listen again. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven, and there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. Wow. Think about Jacob's on the run. It's dark. It's cold. What about us when we're in difficult times? Is God still there? Well, he was there with Jacob, and he's there with us. And many times he brings us to those really dark times in our lives, so we'll listen. So we'll pay attention to what he's saying. And he has this encounter with God, and he sees a ladder stretching up into heaven. There's angels ascending and descending on it. And I think he's thinking, we have access to God through being in this place, I guess. In fact, the word Hebrew word for ladder, you know what it means? Stairway. So put it forth, this is the first stairway to heaven, right? You thought the song was the first. No, it's right here. And he's not only the stairway to heaven. He is the only way, the only stairway to heaven. He's the one who bridges the gap between God and man. In fact, Jesus expounded on this in John 1:51. Most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. What is that saying? It's the story that we're reading here, except now that ladder is a Son of Man. It's Jesus Christ. He's the ladder. He is the only way. That's what he said in John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father except through me. He's the only way to heaven. And Spurgeon put it like this. He said, the God of Bethel is a God who does concern himself with the things of earth. Not a God who shuts himself up in heaven, but God who hath a ladder fixed between heaven and earth. I love that. It tells me that God cares about us. You know, we think that, oh God, where are you? He's right there with us. Why don't I see you? Why don't I feel you? Do you have to? Could you trust what his word says? Because feelings could get messed up. But his word is truth, and it will never get messed up. Look at verse 13. This is amazing to me. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, I am Yahweh, God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. Also, your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and the east, to the north and the south. And in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Wow. Did Jacob deserve this blessing from the Lord? No. This is a grace gift, you might say. He didn't deserve it. And God does that with us. We don't deserve eternal life with him, but God's freely given us eternal life through his son, Jesus Christ. And we see here the blessings that God's given him. He will have companionship with God. I'm always with you. God will provide safety for him. I will keep you wherever you go. God will guide him. I will bring you back to this land. And God guarantees him this. I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoke to you. Absolutely. And that's what we see as we read through the Old Testament. God promised them the land of Canaan. Did it come to pass? Absolutely, in his timing. Now, we want things to happen very quickly. Hey, why are we waiting? Let's get this show on the road. Let's get things. No, there were lessons that they needed to learn before they got into the land of Canaan. Isaac definitely blessed Jacob, but look at what God does. He's speaking to him. He's hearing from the mouth of God. He has this assurance that, like Paul said in Philippians 1:6, he who began a good work with you in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Be confident of that. We have that assurance. God's going to complete the work that he started in us. You know, Pastor Chuck kind of summed it up like this. He said, the night before Jacob had no consciousness of God. His heart was filled with fear and uncertainty about the future. He was tired and lonely and had no thought of God until after this dream, and he realized that God was in this place. Many times we find ourselves in a place of anxiety, pressure, trouble, and not knowing what the future holds for us. We know what is behind us, but not what is in front of us. We can't go back, but we're afraid to go on. In that point of anxiety and concern, we're not aware of God's presence. We're not aware of the plan of God in our life. We can't see his hand on us in these circumstances. It seems that we're desolate and that God has left us. Not so. Just as the Lord revealed himself to Jacob, that he was in that place, surely the Lord is with us. He has said that he would never leave us or forsake us. Absolutely. God was always with Jacob, but now at this point he's made aware of God's presence. Look at verse 16 here in Genesis 28. We're told this. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Then Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put at his head, set it up as a pillar, and poured oil on top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of the city of that city had been Luz previously. Jacob never encountered God like this. And now as he wakes up, he's a little afraid. All that's taken place here. What does the Bible say? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Knowledge. Wow. I think that's what we see here. He discovered he could find God in very unlikely places. And it's here at the house of bread, Bethel. That's what the name means. And then what does he do? He worships God. Today, people talk about having these encounters with God, and it's almost blasphemous by the things they say. You know, God and I, we were just walking around talking and, you know, a good buddy. And I told you before that Christianity Today, this is many years ago, had the hipster Jesus on the cover. And it was a character of Jesus who's wearing sunglasses and, you know, real hipster type guy. I'm thinking, you've lost what the idea of who God is. He is a holy and righteous God. He is Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth. You've lost respect for him. You do not have a fear of the Lord, because if you did, you would never draw a picture of him like that. We need to be careful. He is Almighty God, and he loves us so much he sent his son to save us from our sins, but he never stops being Almighty God. Never forget that. And for Jacob, his walk with the Lord is just beginning here. He's got a long way to go. And God was with him there in Bethel. But wasn't God with him in Beersheba? Absolutely. He's with us wherever we go. He just didn't see God. In fact, David said in Psalm 139, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence?" You can't. He's everywhere. I know people today have this concept about church, you know, this is where God is at. We go to church because God is here. Well, yeah, he is here because you know why God is here? Not because of this building. You know, when we leave, God doesn't go, "Okay, well, I'm going to sit back for a little bit now everyone's gone." No, God is in us. God is here because we're here. We leave and God is not here anymore. Just keep that in mind. God is with us wherever we go. Look at verse 20. "Then Jacob made a vow, saying, 'If God will be with me and keep me in this way that I am going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I can come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And the stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you.'" You read that and go, "Oh, that's awesome. Jacob wants to serve God." No, he's a supplanter. He's a heel catcher, a schemer, a dealer. He's wheeling and dealing here. "Lord, if you take care of me, you know, you give me that bread to eat. You give me those fancy clothes. You give me that four-wheel drive camel. I'm going to serve you all the days of my life." Three-wheel drive camels did not work well. But he's scheming with God. "God, if you do this for me, I will serve you." You mean if God doesn't do that for you, then you won't serve him? Really? So that's a conditional relationship you have with God. That'd be like me telling my wife, "Julie, if you do this, this, and this, then I'll be your husband. But if you don't do that, well, forget about it." Well, what kind of love relationship is that? It's not there. No matter what, I love her. It doesn't matter. And she's great. Don't get me wrong. We worship the Lord because he is Almighty God. Wow. Jacob has a lot to learn, just like we do. And before he really, truly surrenders to God, you know what he's going to do? He's going to have to wrestle with God. He's got to come to the end of himself before he completely surrenders. He cannot be a supplanter, a deceiver, a heel catcher. He's not going to be able to run away from his problems anymore. And he's going to surrender. And instead of being Jacob, heel catcher, conniver, schemer, God is going to change his name then to, you know what? Israel. Governed by who? By God. Not governed by Jacob, but governed by God. We need to remember that as we serve the Lord. It's not, "Lord, if you do this, then I'll do that." It's, "Lord, what do you want from me? What do you want me to do? No matter what, I'm going to serve you." That's the key. Look at the promise that God gave to Jacob, and then Jacob's vow. "I'm always with you." That's God's promise. "I'll keep you wherever you go. I'll bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you." Okay, that's God's promise, right? God promised this to Jacob, just like he promised the blessing. But what's Jacob's vow? "If God will be with me, if God will keep me, if he will guide me in the way I'm going, if he gives me bread and clothing, if I can come back to my father's house, then I'm going to serve you." Wait a minute. God already told you that. What is this condition here? Trust what God has said. Don't say, "Hey, don't put it in a conditional statement like that." I am so thankful that God is gracious and merciful, because how many times have I blown it? How many times have you blown it? And yet he doesn't call it quits on us. He's still working with us. He doesn't give up on us. You know, like Paul said, being confident of this very thing, "He who began a good work in you will complete it." Thank you, Lord. Thank you for not giving up on me. You know, Jacob should have prayed, "You know, Lord, you're with me wherever I go, and you've promised to take care of me, and I will serve you no matter what. No matter what happens in my life, because I trust in you and what you said, you are more than able to bring to pass. You are worthy of my worship no matter what happens in my life." That should be our heart's desire as well. Because let's face it, in life, we're going to face difficult things. And are we going to say, "Well, that's it, I'm done. I call it quits, God. I can't handle it anymore"? No. "Okay, God, I don't understand this. This is really hard. I'm broken over this. But Lord, I know you're going to lead me. You're with me every step of the way, and I'm going to trust in you." And look at how he blesses us, guys. He's given us the greatest gift ever, eternal life, but then he blesses us on top of that. May we serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. May we honor him and not just use him as some kind of gift giver, but to serve him as Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word this evening. You just tell it like it is. You know, you don't try to cover anything up. And this is the reality of life. This is the struggles we have in the flesh, just like Isaac had, just like Rebecca had, just like Jacob had. We have those struggles too. And you don't give up on us. You're always helping us to grow and mature in the faith. And we thank you for that, Lord. And I just pray, use us to the fullest, Lord, that no matter what may come our way, we will serve you all the days of our life. We thank you, Lord, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.